No, I'm not.
Now you're okay. All right.
So our next item of business is the Clean Water Assurance Annual Report. I don't see Mark. Steven, are you subbing for Mark today?
Chair, members of the board, staff and folks, I'm Steven Bernath, of course, policy lead for ecology. I'm here for Mark Hicks today because he's on vacation. So I want to focus most of my comments on the big picture issues that are contained in the memo rather than go in detail through all clean water milestones. The good news is, you know, we had three milestones completed since we last reported to you. One was we, and I think I reported this to you in May, that we did get a type N strategy put together, and we'll talk more about that in my subsequent report as co-chair of the policy group. Second, we had completion of the evaluation of the relative success of the water type change review strategy. What that was all about was getting a standard process established in all the DNR regions on how to review water type mods that come in, particularly after the electric fishing season ends, and making sure that they can be done in a manner that everybody gets the right opportunity to review them before they're accepted by DNR. And third, we got the mass wasting prescription scale study completed. The thing I'd really like to focus on are the challenges we have coming up. First of all, one of the clean water milestones that we've had out there for some time now, and we'd like to continue to emphasize that, is making sure we got long-term funding for the adaptive management program. And that is still lacking, particularly in the context that we now have a senior master schedule as a result of the settlement agreement and the adaptive management reform that you'll be talking about later today. There's no guarantee after this biennium that we're actually going to be able to fund it. So I would ask the principals in the near term, per the settlement agreement, come together here soon to talk about legislative strategies this coming session to deal with the long-term funding issue. Second, we really have a lot of people on CMER that are good at reviewing and providing critical comment on CMER studies. What we have a lack of is PIs, or principal investigators, and research scientists that can actually play a leadership role in getting some of the study designs done and moving forward so that we can actually complete the work we've agreed to in the master schedule. So as each of the caucuses move forward and when opportunities present themselves and to you as board members who accept CMER members that are proposed by different caucuses, I would recommend that we look to make sure those people actually have the time in their job description to do the job, the expertise we need to move the job forward. Third, we have some competing priorities, which I won't address right this moment because we'll be talking about that in the priorities discussion. Fourth, Mark talked a lot about conflict, and I would rephrase that as a trust issue. In the settlement agreement, it said reinvigoration of TFW, but what I find interesting is there has been little or no change in behaviors since the settlement agreement was signed, and it is really, I really think we need to work on relationships between all the caucuses to regain some of the trust we had when TFW was originally initiated. I think that without that leadership at the top levels going on down and spending some time on that, it is very hard to work on some of the conflicts that we have in front of us. And then finally, good news, one of the things we recognize is that without doing, and this isn't in the memo, without doing, looking for partnerships in some of the research we do, it is going to be tough to actually live up to the senior master schedule. So one of the good things out there on the horizon is Nikazi has agreed to look at working with us on one of the road prescription studies, and we're looking forward to hopefully making that work. We need to
look. Spell that out for us, Nikazi.
Nikazi, National Association for Clean Air and Clean Water. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, it's a nonprofit industrial funded organization that does research, and we're appreciative of their help. We need to look for more partnerships, whether it's with where there are overlaps with other organizations such as the Pacific Northwest Research Lab and the Forest Service, or State Lands Research associated with their HDP, partnering with some of the private sector timber companies that have research assets. We need to look more and more for those partnerships in order to be successful. So with that, I will pause and ask if anybody has specific questions about any of the milestones.
I'm looking down the list, Stephen, and noting the point that's made in the memo of those that are listed as not progressing. The lion's share of them are senior studies in some stage of scheduled development that have failed to meet timelines. And I think you cited an important constraint in the context of available science resource within CMER. The board, as I think board members recall, back in the January meeting, voted to provide budget for an additional staff CMER scientist. My hope is that process is concluded soon, so that we bring on that extra resource. But I share that concern. I am seeing that work schedule wise, an awful lot of studies, particularly at the study design stage, are behind schedule, and that doesn't please me.
Stephen, is there a way to partner with the UW or other universities to carry a bit of the load?
I think that already happens to some degree. As you know, the ISPR process, the independent science review that we do, is actually on contract through UW, where we have a senior editor that goes out, tries to find folks to review both our study designs and our reports. We used to have other partnerships with UW and other universities. Those have not been as present recently as they were, say, back in the 90s. Number of reasons for that. But yeah, universities, I mean, so since you asked that question, one of the issues that we are trying to figure out, if you look on, I guess we don't have page numbers on this, do we? On the third page of the non-CMER project milestones, at the top, where it says off track, initiate process for obtaining independent review of the adaptive management program. One of the issues we're struggling with is we had wanted for some time to have an independent review of our program. That We had asked this auditor's office, the previous auditor in the auditor's office, to do that. When it came time to do that, they passed on us last year without warning. And we need to decide whether we still want to go there, because what we're hoping will come out of that is a look at the different models on how to do this. Because you've got our model, which is rather unique, where we have this collaborative opportunity to work together. You've got other models that have been put forth, such as the COPE model down in Oregon, where they basically gave a whole bunch of money to OSU and they went off and did a bunch of studies. I think I'm not suggesting one model over another, but I think the question is whether we still need to do that independent review just to satisfy ourselves that we're on the right track, or there may not be other stones that we should look under.
Other questions? Paul?
So this issue of needing to meet milestones in order to retain Clean Water Act assurances, it's still unclear to me the point at which the program loses its Clean Water Act assurances. I see several milestones that are, it looks, because progress is not being made, that we're going to be several years behind. At what point does EPA or your agency say, look, this just isn't working and you don't get to have Clean Water Act assurances anymore?
Well, that's a good conversation to have, maybe at a future time, but right now, the good news is we're making incremental progress, and now our milestones, whether we like it or not, are going to be somewhat intermixed with the CEMER master schedule. So, that's complicating that issue. And the question in ecology's mind, of course, has to be, so if we pull the insurance, what then? And do we really want to go there? We don't want it to be an empty threat, but we don't necessarily, if we're making incremental progress, the question is a year or two a big enough deal? Right now, we're not suggesting that. But I think if you went back, and I think Mark did this at the May meeting and presented you with the original milestones versus what they are now, mm-hmm. as far as timing goes, there's been quite a few delays. But mm-hmm. we've been forgiving of that, if you will.
Okay. Other questions for Stephen? I guess we'll start to entertain this discussion as we transition into the policy work plan priorities. But I do think it's incumbent upon policy to, as we're reconciling current work priorities, to find a way to come to an agreement about how to schedule out clean water assurances in the process. And so we can use that as a segue, unless there's anything further. To the policy work plan, 2013 accomplishments and 2014 work priorities. We have Stephen again.
So, thank you. So you have two memos before you. The first memo just gives you a status of what we're doing this calendar year. So the good news, as Mary suggested from the Conservation Caucus earlier, is we're happy to report, and you will probably take final action on the adaptive management reform. If you recall, I came out of the settlement agreement. In order for policy to actually conclude that work, we had to bring in the other three caucuses. We had four special meetings last fall. In other words, they were in addition to our regular monthly meetings to focus on different aspects of the settlement agreement to get all the caucuses in the room and agree to it. And then this spring, in order to develop the changes to the Adaptive Management Board Manual and the rule changes, we had another three or so meetings in addition to our regular meetings in order to accomplish that. So the good news is we got consensus around all of it. And it's before you for your decision making today. Type N strategy as reflected before. We do have agreement on a strategy. The one sticking spot is trying to figure out how to get to the wet season defaults so that we can bring you a consensus force practices board manual to your February board meeting. I was a little concerned about this at, what month is this? This is August. So at the July meeting, we were stuck at the policy level. However, I was heartened at the August meeting because after the policy meeting, three caucuses sat down and we started moving forward again. So I am hopeful that we'll still be able to deliver on our workload there. Type F is a, I call it a slog. It's a tough issue. It's a tough issue around the table. Different people have, all caucuses have expectations around this. From trying to figure out a way to reduce electroshocking to getting consensus on one rule instead of two in the rule package, making sure that there's some definition around off-channel habitat, making sure that DNR has a system that they can comply and enforce against, and that we're clear on how are we going to move forward. Is it going to be the current model, meaning physicals plus some electroshocking? Is it going to be revisiting the model that didn't meet our expectations in 2005? Could be another hybrid or something. We don't know what the answer to that is. We are striving to get a charter built by our next policy meeting. That's going to be a difficult task, and we'll report to you in November on our success on that. Mass wasting. Good news is that although we weren't able to get a consensus science report out of CMER, that once policy got down to it, they actually put together a charter on how to move forward fairly quickly. So that's a good news story, and I'm looking forward to that work moving forward. In fact, we have a, another mass wasting meeting this month on that. Just a note on the CMER work plan and budget. There's a suggestion that this next year we separate that out into two meetings instead of one. That's really that's a process issue that may be helpful. And then the I don't want to call it a surprise, but the thing that we are currently or will be struggling with in the next 2 months is the issue around the Department of Fish and Wildlife bringing forward a new revision of the HPA rules. And I'll see if I can make this. When Forest and Fish was agreed to, there was an agreement that when and if Fish and Wildlife adopted new rules under the HPA code, that that code, at least that portion of the code that would go through, that would come to forest practices, would go through an adaptive management review. They are in the process of looking at a draft rule. They have asked policy that to do an, what we call an Appendix M review, which is out of the Forest and Fish report this fall and into the winter, and perhaps into the spring. And that is our workload challenge right there, because I don't believe as co-chair that we will be able to do that without setting something else off to the side while we do that work. So that's the challenge we have before us, both towards the end of this year and into the beginning of next year. And I think The other thing that I will point out to you is there's a good chance that we have a bunch of final reports coming in from CMER next year, and that usually takes precedence, as the mass wasting study did this year, because once those hit the policy table, we have some timelines we have to meet to turn that science around and determine whether something is needed to come before you and determine what that is, do it hopefully in a consensus-based process. So, questions?
I think what I'd like to do to introduce this discussion is, you've identified the workflow conflict that exists between the existing objectives on type N and F and mass wasting in particular, as well as a big long roster of the item I was just complaining about with respect to CMER, moving the CMER projects along. And there is a trade-off that the board needs to provide policy with some guidance on today. And that's not to take in any way anything away from the importance of the hydraulic project approval rule updates and the issues that are pertinent to now FPHP, Forest Practices Hydraulic Projects, moving forward. But it is a choice, because there doesn't seem to be enough resource or time to do all of it. So I think it'd be helpful. I want to ask Mark Engel, put you on the spot a little bit, and just sort of with the passage of Second Row Senate Bill 6406, there comes a little bit different obligation of the board process-wise with the update of HPA rules than was sort of original to Forest and Fish. And I just want you to walk us through that. My understanding of it is, just to kind of preface a little bit, is, you know, we can choose Appendix M review now prior to the finalization of HPA rules, or later, after. And there are consequences of doing it now and consequences of doing it later. The board has an obligation, beginning when rules are introduced, I think, by WDFW, that's sort of the trigger point, to come request an Appendix M review. The board itself has an obligation upon finalization of those rules to initiate rulemaking of its own, according to 6406. But fill in for me, because I'm sure I missed a few important things.
No, you actually had it very correct. After the passage of 6406, these direction has become part of statute. First and foremost, for wildlife, they have direction through 7755, which states that when they make a change to the hydraulic code, that they do need to bring forward a request to the adaptive management program for a review of the rules, including the science that they base the rule change on. The statute also states that the adaptive management program has an option at that point to either accept the proposal request and conduct the review with an end result of a report to the director of Department of Fish and Wildlife for them to incorporate suggested changes into the rule before they bring it forward to the Fish and Wildlife Commission and the commencement of rulemaking through the filing of the CR-102. The board app also could choose, or policy, the adaptive management program, could choose to not accept the proposal at that time and conduct the adaptive management program review, and wildlife then can just proceed with a normal rulemaking. On the other side, in our statute 7609, it states that the board does have to conduct an adaptive management program review for any hydraulic code changes that will be incorporated into the forest practice rules. So, and the end effect is that at some point there will have to be an adaptive management program review of these rules, either after wildlife has completed the rulemaking and this board takes up rulemaking to incorporate the changes, or before Department of Fish and Wildlife presents the rules to the Fish and Wildlife Commission to initiate rulemaking.
Thanks, Mark. Joe, I want to give you a chance to sort of fill the board members in and for the record and for the public to show what's happening with HP.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. So Mark explained the obligation we have with Appendix M. If we promulgate changes in the HPA rules that impact or burden forest landowners, our obligation is to come to policy and ask the question, you know, do you want to enter into an Appendix M review? We have completed three rounds let me step back. Our HPA rules haven't been amended since, I believe, 94, so they're long overdue. A lot of legislative attention in the last couple of years that led to the FPA-HPA integration and a lot of discussion throughout all of that about the outdated nature of some parts of the rules. So there's a lot of expectation that we will move forward to essentially modernize that 20-year-old set of regulations. We've gone through three rounds of three drafts, and we're working on draft number four after having completed another round of stakeholder interactions. So we've talked to a lot of folks, and as you can imagine, forest landowners are a minority of the stakeholders. I'm not, you know, not an unimportant minority, a very important minority, but there's counties, there's private landholders, there's a lot of folks out there that get our 4,000 permits a year. That's the volume. So we're putting together version four, and at this point in time, we're on schedule to come to policy in October with that fourth version, and that would be a chance at least in October for people to see what we've done with the first three rounds of comments. Our hope would be that if the policy and board, the adaptive management program, took on this Appendix M review, we would have a report for the director to consider by February and issue a CR 102, the first draft of a formal rule, probably in about May. So that's the schedule we've been contemplating as we thought about this question and this obligation we have in terms of Appendix M. And then the CR 103, the final rule would be completed sometime in the summer. Now, you know, are those schedules, I mean, this is going to be an intense, as it has been, rulemaking process, so those schedules are the best we have at this point in time.
And Stephen, I think the memo characterizes a little bit the discussion that happened at the last policy meeting around this subject. Simply that there wasn't an agreement at that time to take the work on, which is good because the board hasn't signed it. And that policy's made a request to DNR and WFW to figure out what the consequences of the different options would be. I think, you know, what I'm seeing here is an issue of timing, that, you know, the board probably needs to take make some decision on this here today. And the reason for that is, let's say we decide to have WDFW bring the proposal initiation to policy in October, and then it takes policy a month or something of talking about it and a couple of special meetings to talk about it to bring the board back a recommendation on, you know, what, for example, I'd want to see what the scope of the review would be agreed to include, some timelines, and those sorts of things. If we make that decision in November and say, yay, go ahead and do it, that only gives a couple of months, really, to actually work on that work product before we have an issue of timeliness with the availability of that information to WDFW if you're on track today. So you need it in February or something like that, as you requested here, so you have a little bit of time to process it and incorporate it. And we're talking about the months of November and December when many people are going to be not available, and the early part of January might be a nice little sweet spot, and then you have legislation starting up soon thereafter, and many of us have those kinds of obligations. So I'm a little skeptical about the ability of policy to be able to review successfully within that time period, and it obviously would require that we bump out some of the other some of the other work items for that during the period of time. But as I understand, the consequences on the back end, so let's say the board says this isn't the right time and we want to do it after you promulgate the final rules, the board would then need, because there's going to be an EIS associated with this rulemaking for WDFW, we would then need to do a supplemental EIS if we did anything other than just incorporated by reference. And we would still need to do appendix M at that point. And so, you know, ballpark EIS for that type of rulemaking is a $250,000, $500,000 type of the prospect, which is, you know, as I said right now, not money that the department has, although we could go ask for it. So, you know, the before the fact, after the fact trade-off here is a fairly substantial trade-off of, you know, what the group can accomplish and what the likely outcome is to be. So, you know, was there a discussion about those sort of factors at the policy meeting, or was it more sort of high level or perfunctory? Or
it was higher level, and I would also hope, and I've talked to Fish and Wildlife and others about this, that Fish and Wildlife would be fairly strategic about what they brought to us. In other words, not just those portions that pertain to forest practices, but are there specific issues where there is conflict in the review they've done so far, so that we can focus in on the areas of on those areas and not spend a lot of time reviewing stuff that we all agree on. So, I mean, I think that would help as well. And what we're planning on talking more about this at the September meeting, but until we actually have something in front of us, it's hard to. I think the bigger discussion is what's going to come off the plate on a interim fashion if we take this on.
And I'd like a little, you know, we've thrown a bunch of information at you here. I'd like a little board member reaction to, you know, what you've heard up to this point at the beginning of the talk.
Thank you. Joe, if you don't mind a question, what drivers do you have on your time frame right now? What's controlling December 102 or whatever?
I think the big drivers are just the fact that we haven't amended these rules since 94. We went to the legislature, and after a lot of debate around a new fee about integration, you know, there's an expectation that we move forward and update these rules. There is no sort of set schedule that the legislature gave us, but I think a pretty strong expectation that we move forward with them.
Are there other thoughts about what you've heard?
I'm still a little confused on the, you know, outline high level. What are the pros and cons about putting it into adaptive management now versus later? I know you touched a bit on it, Aaron, but just kind of like to get a concise thing. What falls off of CEMER or off of adaptive management? Still a bit confused on what's the best avenue.
So the way this would go is Fish and Wildlife would prepare what we call a proposal initiation package with their rules, the draft EIS, any other information they have, like if they had a draft SBIS or something, and give that to the Adaptive Management Administrator. That Jim would then turn that in and make a recommendation of policy about whether this goes down the science track or the policy track. My guess, without knowing what this package is going to, it's going to be probably a policy track issue. And then it's going to be a matter of setting ourselves up, if we take this work on, okay, how many issues do we have in front of us? How many meetings is it going to take to get through those issues to deliver a report back to the thing, to the State Fish and Wildlife? The workload issue is if it's likely to take extra meetings of policy to get this work done. And so when you look at the workload already on our plate, I'll just tell you, this is my looking at it as a co-chair, is that we continue to have to respond to whatever CEMER does. okay? I personally don't want to stop any progress on the mass wasting policy issue, because that's moving along. And we still want to make sure that the board manual delivery for February for type N and the upper pulse point of perennial flow happens. So that leaves basically type F on the table as potentially being sidelined for a certain period of time while we do this other work. I think that's the reality of what would happen at the policy table. The pros and cons of whether you do it now or later, I'm sort of a cup half full versus half empty kind of person. And my personal preference is that if we can provide Fish and Wildlife some good feedback on the front end of the rule process, it's going to be a much more palatable rule adoption process for you, the board members, when it finally comes to the Forest Practices Board. But you know, that assumes that we get agreement on most of the big issues associated with that rule package. Does that help?
Other questions? I mean, this is a priority decision. There's no easy and definitive way to make it from a department of Natural Resources implementation of integrated HPA processes moving forward standpoint. We're going to have let's say there are final rules in July or something like that. You know, that will give us a grand total of 7 months implementing a rule set that hopefully we take affirmative action on this afternoon and move right then into a reintegration type of a scenario. And that's right here from an operational standpoint, that's hard. I think we would gain a lot of value from a period of time of implementing version one of FPHP rules and understanding what some of the operational challenges are and transferring that authority into a forest practice context. And then at some later point going back and integrating new science as it's arisen in the HPA rule update. But I don't know if that's really feasible, because it does again require this after the fact. But it's feasible, but it's not optimal. So it requires this after the fact process of again going back to an appendix and review and whatever. I got a note that an EIS might not necessarily be required, but it does to me seem likely in the set of scenarios that we're looking at. I'm with Stephen and with what I assume to be the position of the other co-chairs in that I think type N, type F, and mass wasting are things that we need to follow through on and complete. And I'm not enthusiastic about taking away from that. However, we're making, we haven't seen the most recent updated rules. I think, from a procedural standpoint, the WFW, you have an obligation to try and initiate a proposed rulemaking policy. And so we're going to do that one way or the other. I think if we take this up at the November meeting, recognizing that puts us under a big, big time crunch, if the decision at that point is to proceed with an upfront appendix M review. But at least we do that with the benefit of knowing what's in the version 4 of the rules. I don't like kicking it out that far, but I don't feel like we've got enough information about what the changes are and what the scope of a likely appendix M review would include. It seems imprudent to make the decision without that information. So that's, I'm trying to weigh all the things we've got to consider here, and that's sort of where I come. But what does everybody feel about that?
I have one more clarifying question. So it seems to me like there'd be the potential to delay actions that can result in improvement, on the ground improvement of physical resources if we have to set aside mass wasting or type F or some of the other issues that are lined up to come in front of policy. And so to not deal with those seems like we could risk not actually implementing operational and or rural improvements that would result in improved protection of public resources. What I'm not quite sure of is that if we delay an initiation of review of the Appendix M, that there would be similar known implications for on-the-ground resource protection. And I think if we can answer that question, it might be easier to figure out how to weigh those two. Because if it's just a process thing, and it's maybe uncomfortable, maybe a little bit more expensive, a little bit more time crunch to delay it, but it doesn't result in actual loss of opportunity to improve resource protection, then that would be, to me, that would be a logical way to go.
Any thoughts on that?
Go. Just playing off a couple of the comments, I mean, maybe there are ways, I mean, you don't have the specific changes, we don't have version 4 in front of us, so it is a difficult discussion to have. And maybe there are ways that we can work in the next month or two, as we tee this up, to get more focused on the more significant issues, talk about on-the-ground impacts versus process, just bring this package forward, the discussion forward with a more detailed package of information for you all to consider. But I mean, we would plan on engaging policy, I think, in October still with that information.
I think that's our best choice, folks. On this, since we're not really deviating from the course the policy seems to be on, I guess I'd defer to Mark as to whether we need to incorporate anything into the, sorry, procedurally on the agenda. Sorry, I'll back up the procedural stuff. So this is, we're having a discussion item on policy accomplishments and working priorities. And the action item is the following action item on the agenda, which is the board's 2013 work plan. To the extent that we're putting something else on the board's work plan to address this issue, I don't think there's really any action to take other than that policy kind of cruises along and receives the proposal initiation from WDFW and we come back to it in November. So I don't think it requires a formal board decision on this particular item. I'm not getting any advice to the contrary from our staff. Mark, you got anything more?
So, Mr. Chair, I think you're moving into the next agenda item as far as action for the 2013 work plan.
I'm asking the question about whether we need to carry this over into that one.
The discussion we've had around the Appendix M review and the request from Department of Fish and Wildlife, as Board Member Storr has stated, that wildlife I can still bring forward the proposal initiation to policy at policy's October meeting without direct structure from the board policy at that point. Well, we can have the conversation and make a decision as to whether they want to accept the proposal initiation and to begin work on it. So that would be a decision that the board, apparently the board will defer until November with more information. At this point it would be a decision by policy, and then at the November meeting, if policy chooses, it could be again another update as to what they're doing with their 2013 work plan. There are, however, two items that staff have brought forward for the board to take action on the 2013 work plan that's separate from.
Yep. So let's hold that for a minute. And the point I was trying to resolve is whether we needed to incorporate this decision into the next action item on the agenda. So we don't. So that was the main substance of our policy work plan and accomplishments and priorities discussion. But we've made a point of revisiting this issue at every meeting in the form of a memo from policy, which to my delight entails a table at the back with the nature of the issue, the origin of the issue, the due date of the issue, and key milestone dates of the issue. This is basic project management stuff, and really glad that it's in, here. I think we'll need to continue to put some attention to the due dates and the milestone dates in particular, and whether we think that's on track to try and get the major work items accomplished. The members of policy will notice that periodically I'll pop in on them and see how things are going. I was out of town for the August meeting, and I appreciated Board Member Lori and Board Member Dalish's time to stop in on policy and see how things are going. Stephen, in your Clean Water Assurances memo, you mentioned the overall decorum of the group, and the I would characterize it as the ability of the group to work together within the TFW ground rules. I continue to be concerned about that, and not satisfied with the nature of the interactions that I see, that they're not focused on the ground rules and the outcomes that we're trying to look at, and we spend an awful lot of time attempting to reach what I think is a perfection of perception instead of trying to hone in on decisions that can be supported by consensus. And it continues to be a concern of mine. I know folks are on their best behavior when others are in the room, and so I know I'm not seeing sometimes what's the most concerning pattern of behavior, and that's just making each other angry for the sake of making each other angry from a lot of what I see. So I want policy to receive that feedback from me. I don't know if Tom or Heather have any further thoughts or commentary about what they observed, but I think rededicating to the TFW ground rules is a central thing to making this work. We've got an awful lot to accomplish. Have to do it. That's my expectation that we can get there.
Thank you.
I don't have anything
to add. Well, I'm not a lot to add. I just want to, it was the first policy meeting I've been at where there's a facilitator, and we've had that facilitator for a while. I thought that was pretty good. I could see it really helped in the dynamics. But people did seem to be very good behavior when I was there. I was impressed. A lot of, they deal with a lot of detail. It can be daunting, I think. It's a little difficult. There are some participants on the phone, and I think that's that detracts quite a bit from the process. And I'm not sure if there's a way around that, but it'd be nice to have everybody. Couple observations.
Yeah, two things, Chair, I forgot to mention. One is we have also asked the Adaptive Management Administrator to do a chart of timelines and where each of the CMER projects are so that we can track progress on CMER projects, and perhaps at some point it would be appropriate to share that with the board as well once we come to some level of perfection on that. We used to do that. It went away for a while, and it's time to bring it back, particularly in the context of having a CMER master schedule and needing to march through these things. Third, just to reiterate Aaron, Board Chair's Everett's invitation, I would invite any board member to please come to policy sometime. And you would be welcome, and if you really want to get into some of the nitty-gritty of what we do, we'd be happy for you to join us.
Yeah, I just clarify, I don't expect the policy discussions to be absent of conflict. That's we're not talking about rainbows and unicorns here, but I do expect that people can stick to it and treat each other respectfully, and I see lapses in that I don't find to be acceptable. So that's my concern. So any other commentary on policy accomplishments? And after I just finished being upset about it, I think we're, we're in fits, and I won't say steady progress, but fits and starts of progress on some long-standing tough things. I really appreciate the time and energy and the talent that's in policy and in adaptive management. I'm not dissatisfied with that. I think we need to recommit to each other. Okay. Thank you. Mark, 2013 board working on.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. For the record, I'm Mark Engel, the First Practices Assistant Division Manager for Policy and Services. There are two revisions that staff is asking the board to approve today to their 2013 work plan. Actually, one is a shift into the 2014 work plan.
I went out of order, Mark. I'm sorry. I skipped over a public comment period. I'll ask you to pause and reconvene after we call up Peter Heidi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and board members. My name is Peter Heidi, and I'm generally representing WFPA, but this is a strictly personal comment, which I'll make. The Thurston County Dispute Resolution Center has a class in collaborative negotiations, and it's a 20-hour class. It's a little expensive, and it takes time, but I would suggest that it might be appropriate for the policy folks to look into that class or look into the Dispute Resolution Center and see if there's an opportunity to put on some training for the group, because I've been through it. I think it's extremely valuable, and I just want to recommend it to the board and to the policy committee. Thank you.
Yeah, as was noted, we have a budget gap to fill if we're to meet the CMR project schedule obligations. I think we can carry that forward through this biennium, but certainly as we go back to consider long-term funding sources to meet the full project schedule obligations thereafter, we can talk about just that type of an enhancement. So thanks for that, Pete. Sorry, Mark. Please rejoin us.
Mr. Chair and members of the board, I'm still Mark. So the revision on the 2013 work plan would be one for this year and one to be carried over next year. The first is the extensive riparian status and trend monitoring type at East Side Temperature Study. The Adaptive Management Program Administrator will present to the board the policies recommendations for that study at their November meeting, at your November meeting. The other is the mass wasting effectiveness monitoring project postmortem. As co-chair Bernath has stated, we have scheduled meetings. There is a charter. It'll be a series of meetings for policy, ending with a decision. That the schedule that we have right now would bring forward the policy recommendations to the board in February rather than the November meeting. So those are the two recommended changes.
Turn back to the policy memo. I assume the bumping out of postmortem recommendations is a workload associated item. It sounded to me that at least progress was being made.
That's correct. There's progress being made. A large part of the presentations to policy requires staff, and specifically on the first round, DNR staff, to give a fairly extensive presentations on the application processing, the process we go through. ID teams, the use of our science team and geologists, as well as a presentation on the Willapa Hills retrospective. There are other presentations planned, and all of these are fairly lengthy, so we need to schedule days. As co-chair Bernath has said, there's a lot of extra meetings now that the policy is scheduling in order to tackle these issues before us, and then come up with recommendations to bring to the board. So that is the delay is the time element in order for policy to gain all the needed information to make a decision.
Okay, we have a draft motion for the board's consideration that's on the screen behind you to make essentially incorporate the work plan changes that are in this version of the table. This is the sort of the last adjustment that we make before the end of the functional end of the calendar year, as far as what's going to happen when. So I have a motion to that effect from a board member.
I'll move.
Bob's moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Excuse me, can you read that into the record, please?
Yes. I move the Forest Practices Board approve the 2013 board work plan to delay presentation of the Policy Committee's recommendation for the extensive riparian status and trend monitoring type F east side temperature study to the board at the November 2013 meeting, and the mass wasting effectiveness monitoring project to the board at the February 2014 meeting.
You got the motion and second? Discussion on the motion?
I just have one question. So any changes like that come to us with full consensus of policy to change their schedule?
Head mark.
These requests have been discussed at the policy meetings. And in fact, the postmortem timeline is part of the charter.
I guess that's maybe more of a co-chair question. Stephen, you want to come back up and join us and address that, please?
Yeah, we have a consensus around our charter, and I'm assuming this reflects the charter. So, yes, the answer is yes.
I just want to make sure everybody agrees.
Sure.
I'm seeing a little consternation from members of the Conservation Caucus about whether or not this was a consensus decision at policy. Can we get some clarification about the discussion and how it was discussed and how the decision was arrived at?
Well, there wasn't a discussion about what would be presented to the board, but there was a consensus decision on adopting a charter for the mass wasting.
That agrees with this timeline?
I assume so. Is that correct, Mark?
Policy agreed on a timeline for the completion of the review in order to make recommendations. Based on that timeline, because the board holds quarterly meetings, we schedule the very next available board meeting. So I don't have the postmortem timeline in front of me, but it would require that we would not have time in order to prepare the presentation to the board for the board's November meeting. It's pushing that deadline. So the next available meeting would be the February 2014 meeting.
Fair enough. So are we going to get anything on postmortem at the November meeting from policy? I mean, we'll get the work plan update, but we're not going to get a...
Yeah, I'm not prepared for that question. Because I haven't been in those discussions. So I'm assuming that that there will be an updated minimum.
At present, the scheduling horizon for policy is just the next meeting, which, if my memory serves me right, is the 22nd of this month. At that meeting, we will schedule the next meeting. We do not have pre-scheduled all of the meetings, but looking at the number of presentations and in anticipation of the normal scheduling horizon for us to complete all of the reviews and to adhere to the timeline in the charter, this revision, we're requesting the revision for till November.
So on the memo, the chart at the back of the memo has mass wasting included in the board packet for November board meeting. Include the recommendations to be included on October 11th, the November board practices board meeting. Is there Was there an update subsequent to the timeline that was in memo, or is it, reflect some uncertainty about whether that can happen in time, or?
I guess I'll have to disagree with Mark. I know that people are still trying to work towards the October date. So whether that meets board staff needs as far as timing of getting stuff ready for the next board meeting or not, I can't, that's Mark's call. But I know that even though we've pushed the date out, we were originally supposed to have this meeting on the 22nd in July. We couldn't get everybody's vacation schedules lined up and workload issues around, you know, our staff. So it got pushed out, but everybody is very cognizant of the deadlines we set for ourselves, and we are still trying to meet those deadlines. So we may have something for you in November.
Donnell, do you have some light to shed on this?
Yeah. Patricia was just sharing that Jim will have a report that gets brought before the board in November, and that is, it may or may not happen as far as the mass waste is.
Okay. So I guess the answer is it reflects some uncertainty with where the process is right now. Is that correct?
It doesn't preclude an earlier.
Right, yeah, obviously we can get something in November.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Further questions on the motion? Clarifications on the motion?
Could we amend it to say mass wasting at February 14th if necessary? Instead of requiring it to be, if it was ready earlier?
So the thing we're amending is this one-sheeter. That would put it in the record, I guess. There isn't much of a way to incorporate that on the document itself, but sure, I'm not opposed. Are you making a motion to amend?
Yes. I'll make a motion to amend the proposed review of the board's work plan and add, if necessary, at the end of the last sentence.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. Discussion on the amendment.
A little confused. If necessary, that it doesn't say that it would be presented at the November meeting. It'd just be February if necessary.
Well, we can clarify the language if needed, but the intent of the amendment is to say that it will be presented in November if possible, but February if necessary. So maybe we have to add it if possible. Thank you,
Court. Yeah, the early part of the motion, Court, to that point does say delay presentation and policy committee, so the delay is the operative thing for if necessary. I'm clear enough with that.
Okay. I missed the delay.
Any other questions on the proposed amendment? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Abstentions? Okay. So original motion as amended. Further discussion on the original motion? Hearing none. Call the question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Say no. Abstentions? Thank you. Well, that was more interesting than I anticipated.
Oh, you give him a free pass. Wait.
Okay, so.
No sense in doing that. No.
We have a fairly considerable amount of work to do after lunch, and I know we have some folks coming in for public comment on those items after lunch. I'm looking for one that could be moved up before lunch, and I think the ones that can be moved up before lunch are the two final rulemaking actions on adaptive management program reform and FPHP and biomass. since we don't have a public comment period that would get all jockeyed around for that. So unless there's any objection, I'm going to move those up on the docket and ask Mark to come up and move us along. Welcome back, Mark. You guys thought you were going to get a long lunch.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, today I'm pleased to request that you adopt the Adaptive Management Program Reform Rules, which you have a copy in your packet. As you have heard today, these rules are a product of the settlement agreement, where the three settlement parties presented to the full policy committee a number of elements within the settlement agreement to be incorporated into the forced practices rules, specifically the adaptive management program rule in WAC 222-12045. The rule package in front of you is a consensus proposed rule package from the TFW Policy Committee. That's their full name. It implements the changes outlined in the 2012 settlement agreement. The amendments in general terms, the TFW Policy Committee is established as a consensus-based body composed of caucus principals and their representatives. The policy will consist of nine caucuses with one vote per caucus. The new caucuses, the added caucuses are the industry caucus is now large landowners as well as small forest landowners. So there's the addition of the small forest landowner caucus. The tribal caucus is now west side tribal as well as the east side tribal caucus. And the state caucus is now two caucuses comprised of the Department of Natural Resources and then a combined ecology and Department of Fish and Wildlife caucus. The rules adjust the dispute resolution process by allowing CMR to utilize stage two of dispute resolution and shortening the decision making timelines while allowing the timeline extension by consensus vote. By that, we mean that if stage one is implemented and the parties are actively working to resolve the dispute and we come up towards the deadline, that by consensus policy can extend the resolution process to resolve the dispute. There's also a very large part, a very important part of this rulemaking, and that is the CEMA work plan process. We are expanding it to add the master project schedule, CEMA project schedule process, that the schedule is to be prioritized within the timelines, review and updates, and additional roles for adaptive management program administrator and the policy committee. And there are other minor clarifications by staff without changing the intent of the rule. So since the board's May meeting, staff has filed the proposed rule with the Code Advisor Office, that's the CR-102 process. There were two public hearings, and I didn't write it down on this one. I'll give you more detail of when they were for the Forest Practice Hydraulic Project Rule, because we held combined hearings for both rules at the same time. The public comment period was between June 5th and June 30th. We did receive one comment. That was a support of the recommendation, and staff supports the recommendation of the comment to clarify the language describing the voting structure for policy. I will describe that in a minute. So in your packet today, you have a list of changes made by staff for this rulemaking. And the rules are fairly short. I don't know if you want to refer to the rules, but I am going to read the changes as you have before you. On page 1, in line 3, adding the full name of the Adaptive Management Program followed by the acronym prior to just calling it program. So it's a formal science-based adaptive management program, and then after that in parentheses, program as set forth. On line 19 in page 1, the staff recommends that we spell out TFW before using the acronym, so it now states Timber, Fish, and Wildlife before TFW. On page 2, on line 35, we're adding TFW, as we haven't yet just named it the Policy Committee, which will be used throughout the rest of the rule. So it now states presented to the TFW Policy Committee. On line 41, a grammatical improvement. Related to forest practices, board manual sections, and or other guidance. So we struck out the and or board manual. On page 3, on lines 4 to 5, we corrected the parentheses. So these now states, the State Department's of Fish and Wildlife and Ecology, semicolon and. On line 27, we corrected the capitalization of board, so it's amended by the board with a small b. It will be completed by 2040. On lines 47, 48, based on lines 26 and 27 above, we have the same phrase to the list of board responsibilities. So in capital A, it states, require the program to complete work according to the CMR master schedule as amended by the board. On page 4, lines 5 and 6, for consistency, we added the word regular and deleted the double wording. So it now states, Wildlife Service by letter within 30 days after the regular August meeting, we have struck the word meeting, if the board determines the program is not in substantial, in lines 48 and 49, we clarify the receipt of who is requested action by the board. So it now states, upon receipt of a CMR report or a board requested action, we struck by the board. The policy committee will prepare a report to the board. And finally, on page 5, and between lines 1 through 5, we corrected the punctuation and improved grammar and gave the correct name of petition. So it now states actions including additional research, rule petitions, and or guidance recommendations. And on line 8 for better grammar, it states described in WAC 2220-8100 and RCW 3405-330. So that is the list of changes as proposed by staff in addition to the draft language you have before you. Upon adoption of the rule language, staff will finalize the concise explanatory statement, which you also have in your packet. The CES remains draft until the board's decision is to adopt rules. At that point, then we will finalize it. We will also file the CR 103, the rulemaking order, with the Office of the Code Revisor. And I please note that this rulemaking is categorically exempt from CEPA review under the categorical exemptions listed in Chapter 197.11. It does not require an economic analysis, and it does not require analysis for the small forest land or long-term applications. This is more of a procedural changes rather than changes affecting the publics in the field and forest practice applicants. So with that, I open the discussion to the board.
Questions from Mark? Hearing none. Motion drafted for board consideration on approval. Do I have a person willing to carry that motion?
Mr. Roy. Before I do, I just want to say that this is just, I think, a lot of good changes that are before us here. You know, it started with the settlement agreement, which is kind of a rocky start for a consensus process. You know, it's a threat to sue or to appeal. That's what got us kind of together, but the good faith efforts, I think, of all the caucuses really led the way through this, I think, to a very successful completion, which are this rule change before us. So I appreciate that. You know, we talk about challenges in other forums. This way, or in this situation, I think things have really worked out quite well for all the caucuses, not just those that were immediately involved in the settlement at the initiation. So I would like to make the motion. I move the Forest Practices Board adopt the rule proposal amending WAC 2221-2045 Adaptive Management Program that incorporates the recommendations of the settlement agreement regarding the Forest Practices Habitat Conservation Plan. I further move that the board direct the staff to file a CR 103 rule making order with the Office of the Code Advisor.
I have a second.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Discussion on the motion. Awesome.
Good job.
If I may,
that's my contribution to the discussion.
If I may, Mr. Chair and Board, policy really did an excellent job in the review of the settlement agreement, as the co-chair Bernath said. We did schedule four meetings resulting from the proposal initiation, and policy tackled each of the items one by one. There were actually three essential parts, and then a fourth meeting where policy just confirmed what that needed to be changed. We then called meetings in the spring, and very good, coherent, cooperative and positive input in the creation of both these draft rules as well as the amendments to the board manual. So, you know, I just want to reflect it was a very positive experience and I think an excellent example of really good work that can come out of policy and actually fairly short order considering that it was last August that you know, I prepared the proposal initiation and presented to the Adaptive Management Program Minister. So in a very reasonable period of time, incorporating this with a lot of other work, policy produced, I think, a very, very good product. So.
Hear, hear. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much. We've got 10 minutes before noon. I imagine the discussion of the FPHP rules will require a little bit more time. I don't think we can squeeze that in 10 minutes, so I will give you, or 8 minutes or whatever it is we actually have, so I will give you a 1 hour and 8 minute lunch. And without objection, we'll recess and come back after lunch. Thank you all very much.
Eight more minutes.